Our gospel reading is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Probably a familiar verse, but I think an important one. Verse 12 and following. Jesus said this, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my Father's name, he will give you. This is my command, love one another." This morning I will look at the greatest of these, which is love, but first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this little boy who went to Sunday school and he came home and his mother asked him, she said, "What did you discuss at church?" And he said, "Marriage." And the mother asked, "Well, what did you learn about marriage?" And the little boy couldn't remember. So he thought for a moment. He said, "Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, love is a bit of a mystery, isn't it? And human love is a mystery and a wonderful, beautiful thing. And God's love is even greater mystery and an even more remarkable and wonderful thing. And this morning I want to think about God's love for us and to try to think about it a little bit fresh, even though we've heard it lots before. And I want to remind you of a story that you might know, which is the story of a woman by the name of Helen Keller, a remarkable woman born in the late 1800s and lived through much of the 20th century. And when she was 19 months old, she contracted some kind of an illness. People believe now may have been meningitis or something else. The doctor prescribed what they believe was the wrong medication, and because of that, she was sort of traumatized physically and was unable to hear and was unable to see. She was blinded by that. She got along in life, but she went through tantrums. Her parents wanted to try to control her and teach her, and so they went to the great Alexander Graham Bell and asked him what to do. Now, he had been doing some work with deaf people, trying to help them. He suggested that they go to the Perkins School of the Blind in Boston and to try to find a teacher. So they did exactly that. They went to the Perkins School for the Blind in Boston. It was one of the best, if not the best, school for the blind at that time. And the folks at the school, after consulting with them, recommended they take on a teacher, and they recommended a young woman by the name of Annie Sullivan. Now, Annie Sullivan was barely 20 years old. She had trouble seeing herself, and so she had struggled with some of those same issues, and she had never been a teacher before. But they bravely took on Annie Sullivan, so Annie Sullivan came to live with them, and just 3 months shy of her 7th birthday, Helen Keller met the woman who changed her life forever, by the name of Annie Sullivan. And this is what Helen Keller later wrote about that meeting and her early time. "The morning after my teacher came, she led me into a room and gave me a doll. And when I had played with the doll for a little while, Miss Sullivan slowly spelled into my hand the word doll, D-O-L-L. I was so excited, I spelled the word myself, and I ran downstairs and showed my mother. Several days later, Miss Sullivan spilled cold water into Helen's hand and then spelled out the word water, W-A-T-E-R, and in the same way, Helen learned hundreds of words. Sometime later, Annie Sullivan spelled the word Helen Keller's hand, love, L-O-V-E. And Helen Keller said, what is love? How would you respond? If someone were to ask you that couldn't see and couldn't hear and couldn't speak, what is love? What would you write back in their hand? Well, I'm not going to tell you until later what she wrote and what she said. It's remarkable in itself. But I want to think about how God would communicate love to us, a divine love that we had never known before. I mean, sometimes we take it for granted now, but think about how remarkable God's love is, and how would you do that? How would you say that, particularly when there's that great chasm between ourselves and God? And you probably have heard, we've mentioned before, the four Greek words for love. There's storge, which is just sort of affectionate love, and then there's philia or philos, which is friendship love. There's eros, which is romantic love, And then there's agape, which is unconditional love. Now, agape was rarely used until Jesus used that word agape love and used it frequently, and Christians took it on, and it really transformed the world with the message of the gospel. But you think about how would you communicate that love that's so different from every other love? And John begins his gospel with these words: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That word was Jesus, or Logos, and that word was about love. And God communicated that in the only way possible, which was not in words, but in the life and love of Christ. The only way we'd come to know that. And this is how it continues. It says, the Word became flesh. In other words, God had to reveal that to us in flesh and made his dwelling among us to share our lives. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with Father, has made him known. Jesus has revealed God's love to us and his great love. And when you think about that amazing love that Christ brings to us, and to experience and to be willing to share all of our weakest moments, our most frail difficulties, and to show us love in spite of the hatred that he sometimes felt from others, even on the cross being crucified, to be able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How powerful that is. And Jesus, having invited us into relationship with him, invited us into love with him and to feel God's forgiveness and love and mercy and grace, challenges us with the words to return that love. He said again, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down their life for their friends. And Jesus has called us friends and challenged us to love others. You think about those words and then think about Paul's challenges. Paul sort of, probably better than anyone, sort of puts words around the concept of love. He says, as Ray read earlier, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of the wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it too will pass away. But for all eternity, these three will always remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And what do we do with that? When you hear that, you almost shy away because that makes us realize our inadequacies. But I think the answer is, as we accept Christ's love in our hearts and God's forgiving grace, then our lives are transformed. And while we may never obtain to all the love of Christ and his fullness of love, you and I are invited to follow Jesus and to allow his Holy Spirit, step by step, day by day, to transform our lives, to sort of make us into a metamorphosis of love, a transformation of love. One of the greatest examples I've ever seen of that in my life experience was, besides my mother and family and everything, I had flown to visit my mother over Thanksgiving. This is quite some time ago. And on the return flight home, I was seated in the airplane, ready for it to take off, and a flight attendant came up to me, and she said, would you mind moving seats so a mother and a child could sit together? And I said, sure, it doesn't matter to me. I'm fine with whatever seat. So she moved me to the seat, and she sat this mother and son next to me. And she was a young African-American woman, and so I introduced myself, and she said her name was Renee, and her son was Diamond. And I thought to myself, oh, what a unique name for this young boy was Diamond. And so we got to talk. She began to share her story, and she said that they had just been to Disney World and had been there on behalf of the Wish Foundation, and had stayed at Give Kids a World, which is where kids, families stay when they go with the Wish Foundation to that part of Florida. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder who's sick in her family. Because she said, well, she had three boys, and this was the youngest one, Diamond. So I couldn't see the other boys. They were somewhere on the plane. And so she said this was her youngest son. He was about 7 years old. His name was Diamond. She began to share her story. And
She said that she, of course, was she was an African-American woman. She was a factory worker in Detroit. So a single mother, and she was a lot of challenges, you can only imagine. But that one day, someone had called her up and told her to come over to the hospital. There was this baby there that no one would take care of. And so, why she thought of her, but she went over to the hospital. She went and she saw this little baby, and it's this young African-American baby. The baby, the doctor explained to her, had severe cerebral palsy, had a severe curvature of the spine. He said that the baby probably would not live to be three, would never walk, would be lucky to be in a wheelchair, and would be severely mentally handicapped. And even knowing that, this young mother said that she looked at the baby and she said, I just thought to myself, this is God's little diamond. And that's why I named him Diamond. I thought to myself, oh my God. And I sat with this young boy next to me. He was 7 years old. She explained that they had just come from a hospital before they went to Disney World, where they had removed 2 inches of vertebrae from his spine to remove some of the curvature, that he was walking and not in a wheelchair, that he was in school and doing quite well. I talked to him. He was bright. He was bubbly, just sort of vivacious, full of energy and life. Carried on a great conversation with me. He was talking about this magazine that he was reading there from the seat, the Sky magazine. And I was just entranced and thought to myself, what a picture of God's love. Here's this mother, already has 2 boys, and in the schools in Detroit, which couldn't be easy, and working, in the factory as a worker, and sees this baby and says, this is a beautiful gift from God. This is a jewel from God. This is a diamond from God, and names him that. And I thought to myself, think of the people that God has changed their names of in the Bible, and how Saul became Paul, and how Simon became Peter, and how God changed their name and changed their life course because of how much God loved them and how much God transformed them by his love. And I thought, that's a picture of God's love for each of us. And God may not change our name, but God has known us from the beginning of time. God formed us and fashioned us in our mother's wombs and has a plan and purpose for our life. And if we surrender our lives to God, allow him to give us a new name through his love, that our lives can be transformed in that powerful way too, if we just surrender to that. And you and I may not be able to attain to the love of this mother, though you never know what miracle we can. If we just place our hand in God and do what we can do and trust God to do what only God can do, that we could be part of a miracle too. Well, I wanted to come back to the story of Helen Keller. And this is how Helen Keller found out about love. She writes this later. I remember the morning that I first asked you about the meaning of the word love. This was before I knew many words. I had found a few early violets in the garden. I brought them to my teacher. She tried to give me a kiss. And up to that time, I didn't want anyone to kiss me except my mother. Miss Sullivan put her arm gently around me and spelled in my hand, I love Helen. What is love? I asked. She drew me closer to her and said, it is here, pointing to my heart. Her words puzzled me very much because I did not then understand anything unless I touched it. I smelled the violets in her hand and asked, half in word, half in signs, a question which meant, is love the sweetness of flowers? No, said my teacher. Again, I thought, the warm sun was shining on us. Is this not love? I asked, pointing in the direction from which the sun came. A day or two afterwards, the sun had been under a cloud all day, and there had been brief showers, but suddenly the sun broke forth in all of its southern splendor. Again, I asked my teacher, is this not love? Love is something like the clouds that were the sky before the sun came out, she replied. Then in simpler words than these, which at the time I could not have understood, she explained, you cannot touch the clouds, you know, but you feel the rain and know how glad the flowers and thirsty earth are to have it after a hot day. You cannot touch love either, but you feel the sweetness that pours into everything. Without love, you would not be happy or want to play. A beautiful truth burst upon my mind. I felt these were invisible lines stretched between my spirit and the spirit of others. Beautiful truth about love. How do you explain love? We know love through our parents and grandparents, and we know love of God through Jesus Christ. Well, Helen Keller also came to know the love of Christ, and It so happened that when she was a teenager, that her family and also Annie Sullivan Devine decided it was time for her to come to know about Christ, and so they decided to take her to the most famous preacher at that time in Boston, which was Philip Brooks. Now, Philip Brooks wrote A Little Town of Bethlehem, you may recall, and so they went to Philip Brooks, and Philip Brooks told the story of Jesus through the help of Annie Sullivan signing in Helen Keller's hand. And at the end of all that, Helen Keller wrote back and she said, "Mr. Brooks, I have always known about God, but until now, I did not know his name." Beautiful, isn't it? That God speaks to us in our hearts in many ways, but the story of Christ and the love of Christ comes to transform our hearts and lives. Well, today when you think about Christ's love, we think about how that we can see Christ's love and experience Christ's love and all that Christ has done. And it's a remarkable way to think that as Annie Sullivan sort of wrote the words and letters into Helen Keller's hands so she would understand them, that Jesus, through nail-pierced hands, came to show us the greatest love of all and to give his life that we might know forgiveness and grace and mercy. And you and I are challenged to experience that love and also to share that love with others. And though we may not ever come to a place where we have experience like Renee and Diamond or Annie Sullivan and Helen Keller, every day you and I have opportunities to touch people with seeds of God's love that can transform their lives. Seeds to maybe a son or daughter that's away from the Lord or having difficulty. Seeds to a neighbor experiencing difficulty. Seeds to those maybe who don't even like us, or maybe at work or school or wherever we are, people who don't know Christ. In some little way, we can change someone's life forever. And so I challenge us with that, because whatever all the philosophical truths that we know are, and whatever all the Bible verses that we can quote are, the most important thing is that we come to know the love of Christ and we listen to Jesus' command. They will know you are my disciples by your love. And Paul said, these three will always remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Karl Barth, the great theologian of the 20th century, came out of World War II, experienced a lot, was well known for his great volumes of theology called The Dogmatics, and he was traveling in the United States after World War II, and he went to Harvard, among other universities, and he was at Harvard in his big lecture hall, and after he gave his lecture, some young theology student raised his hand, or maybe it was a philosophy student, and said, "You know, Dr. Barth, to your mind, what is the greatest truth ever of all philosophy and theology?" And Karl Barth, without missing a beat, said, "Well, that's simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." You and I can share that. We don't need to be the greatest theologian or philosopher. We just need to experience Christ's love and invite others in whatever simple way we can to do the very same thing. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we are amazed at your love today. And sometimes we take that love for granted, and yet that is the greatest love of all. We're so thankful for the ways that we experience your love through parents and through grandparents and family and friends, but most of all through Jesus Christ, who showed his love on Calvary, that we might experience forgiveness and grace and new life and the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Help us to accept that and to live out your love and invite others to love and show others your love through your power and to your glory. Amen.